Greetings in Jesus' name. It's a blessing to be here. And thank you, Irvin, for sharing that. It's just, so amazing to look at the life of Jesus and to see, one thing I thought about was, our years, the time. Time, B.C. ended when Jesus was born. That's where it started. It all hinges on who? On Jesus. The other thing is how you have the disciples there, and they were afraid, and they didn't quite understand everything that was going on. But just like Jesus told them, he sent his Spirit. And when his Spirit filled these men, they were bold. They became bold. And they boldly proclaimed Jesus. And the other thing that speaks to me is when I see Jesus turning people's hearts from darkness to light, when I see hatred being turned into love, it is powerful. And I know Jesus lives. Because he's done that in my heart. He changes us. Impossible things. Things that are impossible for people to do. And he changes us. What a wonderful gift. I'd like to look this morning at a bondservant of Jesus Christ. A bondservant of Jesus Christ. This word, a bondservant, in the New King James, we have this word used multiple times. We have Paul says it like in many of the letters when they, in their greeting, they say, I'm a bondservant. Why are they saying this word? Why are they saying, I'm a bondservant? Romans 1, verse 1. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. Titus 1, verse 1 to 3. Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth which accords with godliness, in hope of eternal life which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began, but has in due time manifested his word through preaching, which was committed to me according to the commandment of God our Savior. So he says, I'm a bondservant. James 1, verse 1 to 3. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. 2 Peter 1, verse 1 to 2. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith, thank you, with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Jude says a similar. Jude 1, verse 1. Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ, mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. We have another word that, as Paul, he uses, he says, prisoner. I'm the prisoner of the Lord. Ephesians 3, 1. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles. Ephesians 4, 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Philemon 1, verse 1. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer. I believe in the Old Testament there are two kinds of servants. I believe it talks about hired servants, which were hired. They were paid to come and do work. But it also talks about a bondservant. And the bondservant was a slave. He was there. They had servants who, maybe you had a debt and you couldn't pay the debt. And you would basically sell yourself as a slave, as a servant. And you became a bondservant. You would say, I'm going to work for you, you know, for 6 years to pay this debt. And you were the bondservant. And we know that that whole mentality of, you know, coming, being a hired servant, you come and you work for the day or whatever you were hired for, and you're expected to do, to follow instructions and do your work like you're asked to do. But then you go home. The bond servant is a slave, and he doesn't go home. He's cared for by the master. And whatever his master asks him to do, he's expected to do. The bondservant. You can turn to Deuteronomy chapter 15. And here we have someone choosing to be a bondservant. Choosing to be a bondservant. Deuteronomy 15, verse 1. And at the end of every 7 years, you shall grant a release of debts. And this is the form of the release. Every creditor who has lent anything to his neighbor shall release it. He shall not require it of his neighbor or his brother, because it is called the Lord's release. Of a foreigner you may require it, but you shall give up your claim to what is owed by your brother, except when there may be no poor among you. For the Lord will greatly bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess as an inheritance. Only if you carefully obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe with care all these commandments which I command you today. For the Lord your God will bless you just as he promised you. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. You shall reign over many nations, but they shall not reign over you. If there is among you a poor man of your brethren within any of the gates in your land which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not harden your heart nor shut your hand from your poor brother, but you shall open your hand wide to him and willingly lend him sufficient for his need, whatever he needs. Beware lest there be a wicked thought in your heart, saying, the seventh year, the year of release, is at hand, and your eye be evil against your brother, your poor brother, and you give him nothing, and he cry out to the Lord against you, and it becomes sin among you. You shall surely give to him, and your heart shall not be grieved when you give to him, because for this thing the Lord your God will bless you in all your works, and in all to which you put your hand. For the poor will never cease from the land. Therefore I command you, saying, you shall open your hand wide to your brother, to your poor and your needy in your land. If your brother, a Hebrew man or a Hebrew woman, is sold to you and serves you 6 years, then in the seventh year you shall let him go free from you. And when you send him away free from you, you shall not let him go away empty-handed. You shall supply him liberally from your flock, from your threshing floor, and from your winepress. From what the Lord has blessed you with, you shall give to him. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you. Therefore I command you this thing today. And if it happens that he says to you, I will not go away from you, because he loves you and your house, since he prospers with you, then you shall take an awl and thrust it through his ear to the door, and he shall be your servant forever. Also to your female servant you shall do likewise. It shall not seem hard to you when you send him away free from you, for he has been worth a double hired servant in serving you 6 years. Then the Lord your God will bless you in all that you do. So here we have this bondservant, and every 7 years you had to release them. And it says if the servant wanted to continue with you as a master, if you wanted to continue, and he said, I like working for you. I'm provided for well here. I'm blessed here. I want to keep going like we were. Then he said to pierce their ear, to make a hole in their ear with an awl, and that will be a mark and a way they're going to remember they're committed to serve for life. And I just was trying to imagine how that is. You know, you as that servant, if you were that bond servant and you liked serving there and you made that choice, you say, I want to serve here for the rest of my life. And your ear was pierced. Every time you walk through that doorway would be a reminder. I'm here for my master. I'm here because I love my master. I'm here because I made a choice to serve my master. Every day you walk through that doorway. The choice to be a bondservant. The bondservant is all for the master's work. Now you can turn to 2 Timothy 1. The bondservant is all for the master's work. 2 Timothy 1, verse 6. Therefore, this is Paul and Timothy. Therefore, I remind you to stir, what's Paul to Timothy. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. So here we have Paul calling to Timothy, saying to not be ashamed of our master. Don't be ashamed of our master or of me as a fellow bondservant. Paul was in chains. He was his prisoner, the prisoner of the Lord. Because of serving God, he was a prisoner. Here we see the call of the bondservant being willing to suffer for his master's work. Because it's not his work. As a bondservant, it's not my work. I'm here for the master. I'm just here to serve him. It's not my work. It's not my cause. It's not my business. But it's for the master. And not to be ashamed of it. He said he's not ashamed because I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he's able to keep what I've committed to him until that day. He was looking beyond to a reward an eternity, a reward that was beyond the work in this life. And so he was committed to the work of the master. Number three, the bondservant's highest goal is to please Jesus. His highest goal is to please Jesus. Paul said in Galatians 1, verse 10, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ." We know Paul's story. He says here, if he was still pleasing men, if he was living for the praise of men, if he was living for to have people speak well of him, his peers, to speak well of him, he said, "I would not be a bondservant of Jesus. I would not be here. I would not be serving Christ if he was out to please men." To be a bondservant of Jesus is in all ways surrendering to his plan and not to please people. Not to please people, but to please God. Number four, a bondservant of Jesus cares for, prays for, and is poured out for others. Colossians 4, verse 12. Here we have a man by the name of Epaphras. It says, "Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect, complete in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has a great zeal for you, and those who are in Laodicea, and those in Hierapolis." Epaphras here was a bondservant of Christ, and the testimony about Epaphras was that he was laboring fervently for them in prayer. He labored fervently in prayer for them. That you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. And he had a great zeal for them. So we see a man here, this bondservant of Christ, he's praying for people. He's caring for them. He's pouring out himself because he wanted, his great desire was to see people prosper spiritually. And if I apply that, you know, bring that home to my life, you know, is that what is on my heart for my children, for my wife, for my coworker? Do I have a zeal? Do I care so much? Can it be said of me that I have a zeal for them? I care for them. I'm praying for them. And I want to see them prosper in God's ways. Is that what is in my heart? A care. Willing to pray for and be poured out for others. You can turn to Philippians 2. In Philippians 2, and this is point number five, a bondservant will pattern his life after Jesus, the greatest bondservant. And here we have Paul and Timothy to the Philippians. And it talks here about Jesus becoming a bondservant himself. So what an example to us. Philippians 2, verse 1. "Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So here he tells us how Jesus came. He made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. So we are bondservants of a bondservant. Jesus came and he took on the form of a bondservant. He was willing to submit to that, to God's plan, and be that bondservant. He came in the flesh to experience hunger, cold, heat, shame, disappointment, loneliness, pain, agony, and death. He submitted to that as a bondservant, willing to do whatever his master needed him to do. Number 6, a bondservant of Jesus will live for no recognition for himself, but to show the excellent majesty of his master. Luke 17, verse 7. And which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and sit down to eat? But will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper, and gird yourself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterward you will eat and drink? Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise you, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. So as a bondservant, when we have done all to serve Christ, we have only done what is expected. And we are to say, we are unprofitable servants. I believe what this is speaking of is that we are to have this mindset. Jesus is talking here about our mindset. That we understand that we can never repay the great price that Jesus paid for us. We are indebted to Jesus, not that Jesus is indebted to us. You know, even if I've done all, even if I've been faithfully doing everything I can do, I still do not deserve the love that Jesus gave me. That's what he's saying. There's still nothing I can do to buy that love, that redemption. there is many blessings. There is so much blessing. There is so much reward for the faithful, and that this is not diminishing that. But he's saying we are indebted, ever indebted to Jesus for his love for us and his redemption. So a bond servant of Jesus will live for no recognition for himself, but to show the excellent majesty of his master. So let us be a bondservant. Let us be willing to make the choice to choose to be a bondservant, to choose and say, I want to serve you for the rest of my life. Be willing to have, to be marked, to have that hole in my ear as a constant reminder that I am the bondservant of Jesus. I'm committed to serving him. As bondservants, let's be all for the master's work. As bondservants, let's have the highest goal to please Jesus, not to please people. As a bondservant of Jesus, to care for others, to pray for them, to pour our life out for the people around us. As a bondservant, to pattern our life after Jesus, who also was the greatest bondservant. And that we would not live for recognition of ourselves, but to show his greatness. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for your great love, for coming to this earth to become a bondservant, to give your life, give everything you have to redeem us. Thank you for the great redemption, for the great love that was shown to each one of us. And Lord, help us to, in return, to accept the place of a bondservant. Lord, help us to make the choice to be your servant and to give everything we have in service to you. Help us, Lord, to live for your smile and not the recognition of people. Lord, we just pray you bless each one here and help us, Lord, to reflect you in Jesus' name. Amen.